The first clear problem is who will be his vice president. And the constitution requires that he nominate a candidate who will be confirmed by the Senate, the National Assembly. The problem here is that once again, like his cabinet, he might be held hostage by the governors or the ruling party or many other interests because he has to balance to pick a Muslim from the north. Now, he has just 10 months to make decisive leadership change in Nigeria, and he needs somebody who he can work with. Now, if you foist someone on him that will have conflicts with him, then you're going to have a real succession problem, especially if the new vice president is interested in running in 11 months' time.
A long north-south understanding in the PDP party has allowed political power to alternate between a northern leader and a southern leader, and some party members are saying that Mr. Jonathan is a transitional southern leader, and he's having his moment of prominence now, and that by campaign time it should be a northerner's opportunity to take over. Do you think that Mr. Jonathan can assert party discipline and bind his leadership at this stage?
It's going to be a tough one for him because he finds himself heading the most populous black nation on earth, not having won a single election in his entire lifetime. He has always been number two, who has been lucky enough, no pun intended, to succeed the main person. So he doesn't really have a political base of his own. He has no constituency, and I like to say that he is an orphan president without a political godfather. Now, how soon he's able to become his own man is completely up to him. But generally, people feel that if he delivers on political reform, if he delivers on electoral reform and on electricity, he'll be the man to beat in 2011.
What signs of support for President Jonathan are coming in from abroad due to his visit to the United States recently?
Clearly, you know, the signing of a binational treaty with the U.S. the week of his visit is considered a very positive thing. And since his return from the U.S., he went ahead to remove the chair of INEC, the Electoral Commission, which has been a key demand of the U.S. So clearly, he has the support of the U.S. President Obama has called to extend his condolences already. You have to say that one of the factors going for President Goodluck is that Nigerians are generally superstitious about names, and they feel that he has had a lucky ride because of his name.
Indeed. Now, the visit last week of former President Olusegun Obasanjo to the United States also was gaining a lot of press when the Yar'Adua story kind of knocked it off the front pages. What do you think President Obasanjo's visit to Washington contributed in terms of preparing leaders in the United States for what happened this week?
President Obasanjo has more or less been on internal self-exile during the last 3 years of the Yar'Adua administration. There was certainly some ice between the two leaders. And I have to say, a couple of weeks ago, I was fortunate to be at an event where President Obasanjo and President Goodluck were together. And it signaled to me that the fact that he feels free once again. Clearly, the ice has thawed between him and the administration with the arrival of President Goodluck. And This is probably a very happy season for President Obasanjo to be able to be back in circulation once again.
Will the recent grumblings of former Yar'Adua loyalists with the cabinet reshuffle and the dismissal of Maurice Iwu be put to rest, or do you expect more dissension?
Well, I think that the arrowhead for the cabal who were playing the game of Wizard of Oz and Cat and Mouse with the Nigerian people has been dislodged. There were some members of that gang who were in the cabinet and who were kicked out, but there were some of them who were not in the cabinet and who still continue to hold influence within the villa. I think those people will have to pack their bags and leave. And I think that the president will actually have a bit more breathing space to clean house and move forward. There's no doubt there's going to be some continuing resistance, but they will be doing it from outside the walls of Aso Rock and not from within.
Now, President Yar'Adua passed away at a very young age of 58 years old. What do you think will be his legacy?
Well, it's hard to say. Clearly, there are many who believe Yar'Adua didn't just die yesterday. He was gone since last year. There are some who argue he never made it into the new decade. Now, the fact of the matter is his legacy is going to be arguable. He really didn't have time to do very much before his illness had the better of him. There's not much to go on there. And the good thing is Dr. Goodluck Jonathan has opportunity to salvage what is left of his administration. And hopefully then, you know, historically people will have something to say about President Yar'Adua. The only thing we can say at this time is that he was the first graduate of a university to rule Nigeria. And that means that his thought processes were supposed to have been more well-informed. Actually, Yar'Adua is the first graduate. Goodluck Jonathan is the first doctorate degree holder. The both of them actually were professors. So the team were the first president and vice president with college degrees.
Now, is Mr. Yar'Adua the first Nigerian leader to die in office?
No, he's actually the fifth to die in office, but he's the first civilian elected president to die in office. In that sense, it is a sad moment for the country, but I can tell you that people stopped praying for him a couple of months ago when the First Lady and her group began to play games with the Nigerian people. And that is the true tragedy of the situation, that Nigerians are not really mourning the man anymore because of the loss of goodwill from the family.
I'm wondering, was there a tip-off that Yar'Adua was going to die? I mean, did people really know that it was coming this week?
Well, that's the strangest thing, because a couple of people flew back in from exile who have been on exile for years this week. So you begin to wonder, is there a coincidence between the timing of Obasanjo being in Washington and some of the exiles coming back this week and this happening? I understand that the doctors hinted that his situation was getting critical, but I don't know how many people had access to that information.
How well prepared have Nigerians been to cope with their leader's death?
Well, they've been given more than 3 months' notice. If anything, considering the fact that he was rumored to have died even before he was elected during the campaigns, Nigerians have pretty much known that this was coming down the road.
Nigerian television carried the ceremonies for the funeral. What kind of sentiment did you detect from people in the street about how they were reacting to the loss?
Right here in my hotel, in the restaurant, it's almost a carnival atmosphere. Not that people are celebrating, but people have simply moved on long ago. So today's event was probably something that they had already accepted way before now. And it's not like Abacha's death where people actually were jubilating, but there's a collective national sigh of relief that we can move on and close the door to this pathetic chapter in the life of the nation.
Have they gotten used to the fact of losing a president who passes away while in office?
Well, you have to know that when we talk about Nigerian leaders who have died in office, you have three different extremes. You have the good, the bad, and the undecided. The good leader who died in office was General Murtala Mohammed, and Nigerians wept and rolled on the floor. It was a national tragedy. Now, then you have the other extreme, which was the bad, General Abacha, who died in office, and Nigerians bought each other free rounds of drinks, danced in the streets. I think Yar'Adua is kind of the undecided of it, which is Nigerians just paused for a second, oh, okay, it's finally happened, and then kept on moving. So yes, we have had leaders die in office before, but this is the one where we're least excited, most indifferent to. This transition has been very smooth, and that is a very good thing for Nigeria. And I'm excited that there's no riot on the streets of the capital or anything of the sort.
What have you heard from places around the country like Jos and Plateau State, where there had been some violence since the announcement of the Yar'Adua passing?
Well, the situation in Jos, where I've been to the last couple of weeks, has been quite interesting, because there are many who feel that President Yar'Adua mismanaged the crisis in Jos, and so the people there are actually more relieved that he's no longer at the wheel of the affairs of state, because they feel they'll get a better shake than they would have if he was there. Not to minimize the loss of life, but just from a standpoint of resolving the continuing violence, the people there feel that they will have a better shot if someone other than the Yar'Aduas handled the situation in Jos.
And from the Niger Delta, is it too soon to expect any changes there now that one of their own has taken the reins of power?
That's probably one ray of hope in this whole situation is if Yar Adua is only remembered for the fact that he made a lot of efforts to bring about amnesty in the Niger Delta, probably the only tribute that would emerge from his passing is that he did actually empower a Niger Delta to take over and become president. And hopefully the folks in the Niger Delta will want to honor his memory and honor his legacy by keeping faith with the amnesty.